No one wants to hear about someone else's commute. I think there's a few things in life that people don't want to hear other people complain about. I think one is their job, even though that's pretty much all adult conversation is friends meeting up and just complaining about their jobs to each other.
Yeah.
Their commute.
Yeah.
Their dreams.
Yeah.
What else do you talk to me about?
Good one.
This is, should we just watch it real quick? The only podcast that you can listen to with your ears. I am Ear Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to ear school to not be heard. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's Kelly, Big Whoop, want to fight about it?
What a
question mark?
Oh, God.
For Stuka.
Jerk stores. You're all jerk stores. They're running out of you.
Is your microphone switched on?
Yes, it's switched on.
Yes, it's switched
you
on,
don't
Dad.
You have your glasses on.
I absolutely do.
You don't.
I fucking do. I'm wearing them right here.
I don't have my glasses on. Oh, I'm so old. I don't have my glasses on and I can't see you're wearing glasses. I'm just so used to yelling at
that
you.
That is literally the funniest argument we've had. Out of the thousands of arguments that we've had since we got together.
The thousands.
That's the funny. Well, you know, 3 years we've been together now pretty much and like was 365 days in a year. That's, you know, three arguments a day.
That's 679 times of what I had Saturday. That's more 497 times you've mentioned wrestling.
1,742 late show references. Carry the four.
Out of the way, extras.
Kelly.
Yes.
What have you been watching?
What
when
have I?
I'm not here, which is all the time now because I have a very important job now.
He has a very important job that he has to go to the office every day. But it's not for the government. It's for better people.
Yeah.
What have I been watching? I wish I had have prepared this earlier. So when I work, I put TV on. I have been watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah,
it's
you love
great.
It. You do love it.
You know what it is? One episode of Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay's, wets the palate. Gordon Ramsay's, Hell's Kitchen. It wets the palate,
Do you know my cousin Gordon Ramsay's?
Is there anyone saying my cousin Gordon? Is he here? But it just, it wets the palate, you know? Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, just. And then I'll watch something else or whatever.
Wets the palate.
I feel like I rewatched a bunch of stuff. I rewatched Goodfellas. Probably for the 48th time.
Mm-hmm.
It is still good. Goodfellas is fantastic. I can't fault it. There's nothing about that film. And this is old school. Like when you look at like Hollywood at its fucking peak, man. Goodfellas, there's no part of Goodfellas where you go, oh, that doesn't suit, that doesn't fit. That wasn't, that person couldn't act, that wasn't believable, blah, blah, blah. Like the editing for it, like, towards the end, like when he's getting caught and like the editing to show that kind of passing of time, everyone in it, go get your fucking shine box on. There's so many quotes in this film.
Mm.
I feel alone in the world because no one ever really knows. Like, he does these impersonations. You swear it was the real people. Like, it's just great. I feel like Seals had never seen it and they were playing it at the Nova. That's the one in Carlton.
Yes.
They were playing it on a Sunday night at like 6 p.m. Like it was a weird time. There was 10 of us in there watching on the big screen. This is the millionth time I'd seen it. And I laugh so hard in this film. And people look at me and it's weird, you know, because it's like, oh, I'm like, it's a fucking comedy. I quoted it to you yesterday when we were walking up the – when we're walking in this, like on Bourke Street, and I don't even remember what it was. It was like, it was the line that his mum does where it's like, you know, he sits there, he's so quiet. Why don't you say anything? What am I, and he says, what am I going to say? that you know, my wife cheats on me all day, that I'm a bum. Shut up, you're always talking. Anyway.
Mm.
The Hoof.
Hilarious.
It's great, man. It's so good. I watched that. Mm.
Hilarious. Oh,
shut
stuff.
Up, idiot. Shut up. And I think I started watching a bunch of like movies and then just kind of dropped out in the meantime. Oh, I actually started watching on
a
Netflix.
A Woman and Her Morpheus.
You're not listening to me.
I am.
I started watching
to
you. A documentary on Netflix called, I think it's called The Octopus. Have you seen those ads for that? It's like a 5-6 parter or something. It's a very interesting, like, kind of beginning. Basically, man, long story short, oh, here comes Jim. Here he is. Long story short, there was a, during, I think it was during Reagan or one of those guys, it's called American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. Basically, back in the 70s or 80s, the, what's the part of the government that has the lawyers that fight crime, like
Justice Department?
Yeah, Justice Department reached out to this company and mm-hmm. said, hey, can you patent this computer program for us, where basically it would put every crime, every person who committed crime in a database. So this was the 70s, early 80s, where mm-hmm. if someone did a crime, you wouldn't know, everything was paperwork, and you wouldn't know the same person did the wrong thing.
It's like Minority Report.
No, Minority Report is about telling the future.
Yeah.
This is not telling the future, darling. This is just trying to keep track of all the bad people
mm-hmm.
after they've done a crime.
Okay, so Tom Cruise was building a database.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So basically they said, can you make this for us? And this company went, let's work on it. And they started doing this thing and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time ever, and it was beyond its time. It was the first time ever people could track crime in such a way on computers, right? Then the Justice Department fired the company out of nowhere, just fired them and didn't pay them a cent. They were owed like $6.4 million for the work. They didn't pay them anything. But then there was some stronghold stuff happening. This is what the stronghold stuff started happening, where the Justice Department started using the technology. So they fired the company and said, we don't want it anymore. Didn't pay him, and then started using it. So then that guy took him to court, won, got owed $6.5 million. Then they appealed. On the appeal, they got another judge who said, nah, they don't owe you any money. And the original judge that said they owed, that it was illegal, got fired. And then there was this, like, and that's why they call it the octopus. There's this fucking running theme of anyone connected with this story gets fucked over because the Justice Department are just ahead, step ahead, trying to fight. Anyway, so there was a particular reporter in the 80s who picked up on this and was reporting it, and he did all this work and blah, 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 and it had this amazing story. And this was just after Watergate, went all the way up to Reagan. It was a big deal. And he kind of nonchalantly said to his family, he was at like one of his niece's birthdays, and they're like, how's it going? And he was like a sports reporter. Like, he wasn't even really into being that kind of a reporter, like a, you know, Bernstein Woodward guy.
Mm.
But he just got sucked in, where he's like, oh, this fucking goes all the way. And this octopus, FBI, like, dragged him into this because it was a corruption that was, anyway. And he kind of joked to his brother, like, well, if I ever die, it was never suicide. Ha 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 ha. 2 days later, found in a fucking tub, committed suicide.
Wow. Okay.
And he was, it's like, They interview the cleaner. It was like 1987, and the original cleaner's still alive. And he's like, there was blood splatter everywhere. There's not blood all over the walls.
Yeah.
And it's suicide.
No, yeah.
Anyway, so that's basically, so now there's another guy who's reopening it, going, he definitely was murdered. But it's but the fact that the cover up is like White House stuff, it's, yeah, I found it really, I watched 2 episodes of it. Octopus Murders, really good. What have you been watching? I like how I really sucked you in, didn't I?
Yeah, I was listening.
I loved how I sucked you in on that one. You, your eyebrows lifted when I went, anyway, 2 days later, he was found dead, committed suicide. I tell a good story, right?
Mm.
And you went, Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was interested. Anything to do with politics, roundabout politics, I'll take a look. This week I'm still just watching Dexter. I've started a new job and I'm commuting back and forth from, so like I just don't get any time to watch anything.
I watched an episode of Dexter with you and I have to say I was intrigued.
It's like, good. You know, I mean, I said the same thing last week, so I'm not going to repeat myself, but it is like a good beach read. Like it's well written. Like, you know, you're already familiar with the characters, so there's that familiarization there. But I think like if you love Dexter and you're unhappy with how it ended, which a lot of people were, including myself, this is a nice like, I mean, I don't know how this episode ends, like the last episode, which is what I'm up to. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But I think it's nice to revisit those characters and not have it leave a sour taste in the mouth, you know, like and there's been a lot of things like El Camino, which was like the Breaking Bad movie, and like the Angels of Newark or whatever, with the Sopranos movie or whatever. Like
I still haven't watched
which
that.
Like they I mean, I saw the Breaking Bad one and it was like fine, I think. Like,
it's a real delicate thing. Like,
so it's like, yeah,
one,
it doesn't always work, you know. My favorite show of all time, Bosch, which gets, if you've got your...
It's not your favorite show of all time.
Well, it's getting pretty close to it because I notice I mention it on every fucking episode of the podcast. That's ended. So Bosch, the show that I love, has ended, but they have brought a... that was a couple of years ago, but they've started a show called Bosch Legacy, which Harry Bosch is still on, but it's centered around his daughter, who is now also a cop. And the reports I've heard is like, yeah. So it doesn't, most of the time it doesn't work is what I'm saying. I can see that you're already getting uninterested. And
No, I'm looking at stuff on my phone because I wanted to, there was something else I watched that I wanted to mention. I just couldn't remember.
But that's it, yeah. So Dexter New Blood is a pleasant surprise for me. But I think it's, like I said last week, it's all the same people making it and stuff. So
I think if you hated it when it was first out, it's not for you. But if it's someone like, we both watched it when it first came out, and just the way that they're kind of referencing old stories of like Rita and sister and stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, Matt, I'm up for it. You just said before though that politics stuff, there is something else on Netflix that I've got a burp. No, it's not coming out. Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. I do like a bit of that bullshit, dumb shit.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about the turning point of the bomb and the Cold War. Like it's good. It's man, it's a, yeah, I don't even want to get into it. But if you're like that kind of after World War II stuff, but it's all about just the guilt of, yeah, using the bomb, what happened afterwards, Russia, Kennedy, all that sort of stuff. It's
I know what I watched.
Yeah.
I watched Zator.
What's that?
It is, so you every now and then you'll see a meme of Sean Connery in basically like red underwear with like two... bullet belts.
I've seen this.
With like a long black ponytail and a big like Fu Manchu mustache.
Oh, that's...
And you see it and you're like, what is that from? What is that? What the fuck is going on there? What movie is that from? It's from Zator.
This doesn't sound culturally appropriate.
What do you mean?
He's wearing a Fu Manchu
mustache. No. I mean, it's not actually a Fu Manchu. Okay. It's just a long mustache. Jesus Christ. It's not a Fu Manchu. Okay.
Anyway.
It's a long mustache.
Yeah. And what's he playing?
Anyway, it's this. The guy who made Zator had made. It'll come to me. But the director had a massive hit. And this was like his blank check movie. And. Was it The Exorcist? No, that's. Anyway. I loved it. It's like an art science fiction movie. I can't really tell you what the plot is. It's like, it's set like 500 years in the future.
Ooh.
Basically, these like upper class intelligent being. So humans have like evolved to a point where they can like communicate through telepathy and stuff like that, and they've curated this like perfect.
There it is. There's the picture.
Yeah. They, is it Zartos?
Yeah, Zartos. Look at these big black boots.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But it's like it was made in like 1974 or something like that. So like it's so it's like bright. And can you look up who the director is while you're
Director is John Borman.
Yeah.
But and like, John Borman also did Point Blank, Deliverance, Exorcist 2.
Deliverance.
Heretic, Excalibur.
So he had just made Deliverance. Yeah. And so on the back of that, he basically was allowed to do whatever the fuck he wanted. And he made this film. And I think it's like, you know, I read some reviews of it of like, oh, it's an art piece so you can read into it whatever you want. But I actually think it's a, like a very socialist piece of art. Anyway, it's insane and all over the place, and I just loved it. Like, it's so vivid, and like I watched it like a week ago and I still don't really know how to describe it and why I loved it so much, but I just like let the film wash over me, and it's a real trip, man.
So that same director tried to get Lord of the Rings off the ground.
Yes.
That's awesome. He couldn't do it, man. Do you know how many people tried?
The Beatles We're talking about it.
And that's the thing. When you see pictures of Peter Jackson doing Lord of the Rings, he's like a really big guy. And then when you see him now, he's like really thin. He was like, yeah, I put on like 50 kilos making those films because it was just horrid. Sometimes you watch some of these films and I'm like, I want to watch this with you. 2093, human population is divided. Dude, dystopian futures. Let's do it.
Yeah. So like, yeah, and then Sean Connery is this like these sort of working people, but essentially like Sean Connery is essentially a cop that is used to like keep the working people under control. And then like he, through reading books, works out that like the ruling class are like using him.
Yeah.
And so he like basically infiltrates their little bubble, and just the very fact that he's in there, causes the whole thing to implode.
It's like a real weird Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Is there really a Zardoz and stuff?
I don't want to give anything away in case you want to watch it, but yeah, yes, there are Wizard of Oz allegories going on there, but it's just cool. Like, even just from like, if nothing else, the cinematography, set design, costume design is amazing. You can't get a more 1974 film than this than maybe Clockwork Orange. Like, it's Clockwork Orange was 71 or whatever, but like it's a real, if we just say 70s, it's like a real taste of like early 70s, you know, Bowie glam, pop art, colors, vibrancy.
You know who else is in it? The chick in it, Tessa Charlotte Rampling. She's not someone whose name rings a bell, but she plays a side character in a lot of fucking stuff. She was in Dexter in one season, but The Verdict, The Wings of the Dove, like she's one of those old school chicks, you know, like she's great. Like when you see her, you go, oh, fuck yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, man, Zardoz is one of those B films that like, it's sort of a rite of passage of like being a film nerd. And so I'd always planned on watching it because it's got Sean Connery in it. And I love Sean
Just
Connery.
Just Google the Sean Connery picture. It definitely looks like a porn. Like he's got the big, like the red thing he's wearing is hilarious. It looks great.
That film kind of reinvigorated his career somewhat, even though the film was a bit of a flop because he couldn't get work because he had been typecast as Bond. And he'd left the franchise because he wanted to act in other things and no one would cast him in anything. So when Borman came to him, he did it for a song. He did it for like $200,000, which was half the budget of the film. So Sean was getting half of the budget of the film just for his fee, but that was nothing compared to what he was getting paid for Bond movies. But the fact that he was in something else and he did, like he's actually good in it.
He wasn't first choice.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Burt Reynolds was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, Sean Connery. Yeah, so like it kind of somewhat reinvigorated his career. So he took a chance and it got him back into.
Took a chance.
Got him back into the the movies. We saw quickly, we're going to try and be quick today, but quick as you can, we saw a play yesterday, or a theatre. What are those
musical
girly things that you like?
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, we saw Groundhog Day, the musical. It was fine.
I really love Groundhog Day. And I think it was really entertaining and it was fun. And I didn't even realize, Sills reminded me, there was a chick who used to be my instructor at EXO was in it. She was the doctor, you know. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. It was really fun. And the story, I love Groundhog Day. But I think I was just disappointed because my favorite line of Groundhog Day wasn't in it, which is, should we do a toast? To the groundhog, I'd like to say a prayer for world peace. And then the next day, should we make a toast? I'd like to say a prayer for world peace. Amen. You know? But it was great. But you know me. I love a nice little musical. Actually, Damien, I watched something else this week which parlayed our viewing pleasures.
I would just say it's too long. It's too long.
Musicals.
They turned an hour and a half movie into an almost 3-hour musical. Too long. Anyway.
I also watched the 1989 classic with Patrick Swayze, Hipsey Swayze, Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
I just can't stop thinking. It's all about the Family Guy. Roadhouse. Sometimes I don't know what the fuck was happening in this film because it was just like all over the place.
What about this side boob? Well, you shouldn't. Because it's my side boob.
Hey, buddy, you want to touch these tits for $20? Okay. And there were so many elements of it that was like they were fighting to the death. And he's like, hey, fuck you. Well, that was the dialogue. Anyway, Patrick Swayze is so fucking perfect as Dalton in this. It was such a weird film, but I really did get the...
That's right, mijo.
Sam Elliott. I really did get the sense that this place was a horrible fucking roadhouse.
It's a fine piece of ass you got there, mijo.
It was... dude, I'm just reading here. 5 Golden Raspberry Awards, including Worst Picture. Oh, come on,
I think that gives you... Look, Roadhouse is shit. It's a bad film, but it's also a really fun... good film.
Yeah, it was
well.
Fun and dumb.
Yeah. And like, so I think that like shows us that we didn't really realize how good we had it. You know what I mean? That like Roadhouse comes out, it's like, this is fun. But the film criticism world was like, no, this film sucks. It's not a proper film. And now like fucking Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out and it gets like, people are like, it should be nominated for an Academy Award. If Robert Downey Jr. doesn't win an Academy Award for Iron Man, then the whole thing should be shut down.
You know why? Because he did... So there was Red Dawn, Youngblood, Dirty Dancing, and then Roadhouse.
Mate, classics, all 4 of them. I'm going to get all of them on fucking VHS.
Shut up, everyone. Yeah, exactly, right? Like, Roadhouse, because he wasn't like this sexy romance. Like, it's a Roadhouse. Anyway, and then he did Ghost, which is one of the greatest films of all time.
Roadhouse.
It was great. I liked the 1989.
You guys already know this because you'll see the label. We watched the new Roadhouse, obviously. What I would say, watching the new Roadhouse, is it really put in perspective how all over the place the plot of the original Roadhouse is and kind of makes no sense whatsoever. I suppose you kind of get that, like, there's the overly evil guy that's trying, like, that sort of runs the town and wants to, like, take over the Roadhouse. It's kind of, you don't really get that. Like, I actually think the new film does a better job of explaining that, you know? Like,
yeah. But the thing is, so the 1989 Roadhouse. Like, there's just this fucking guy who, like, owns the town and he has a bunch of thugs and they just do what they want. It's like The Grudge. No, is it The Grudge? What's it called where the town, everyone can kill each other? Purge?
The Purge.
It's just like The Purge where they can do whatever they want and it's just power. And there's no reasoning behind it. He's like, I can do what I want. There was some side story about how he has a monopoly on, like, alcohol sales, so they ended up buying their alcohol somewhere else. That was a big deal, you know, but like,
yeah, and he wasn't happy about that,
wasn't happy about it, blah blah blah, whatever. But really, I was like, no, it's just pure evil.
It doesn't really matter. It's like there's this bad guy and he runs the town and is an asshole, and the only person who'll stand up to him is Dalton.
Honestly, just having a character that's pure evil for just being evil, that to me worked in the 1981. But so now let's bring it to the Jake Gyllenhaal version that's on Prime Amazon that we just watched. So the reasoning behind this one is that the roadhouse is in a prime piece of real estate and the bad guys are trying to run them out of town and destroy the business because they want to put up condominiums and stuff. It's too much of a motive for me, I feel.
No. I think that's good. Like, that makes sense. Why do they care so much about a fucking roadhouse? It's like, well, because of the location. Look at where it is.
It's too much of a motive that they're they're greedy. I like bad guys. Give me the bad guy.
But there were bad guys. I mean, the son mob boss guy, I liked him. Like, you know, the fact that he just – when we meet the – but, like, so there's two bad guys. There's Conor McGregor, who's, like, the big heavy
– Shut up, Jim.
The big heavy bad guy. And then there's, like, the crime boss's son. I don't know the actor's name. I don't know the fucking – Brett something.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of small bits.
The character's name's Brett something. Brett Bretson.
Brett Bretson. Hey, what's the name? Brett Bretson.
I like the fact that, like, terrific. When we meet him, he's, like – he's getting a razor shave, which shows that he's a fucking arsehole. Yeah,
Ben
and
Brandt.
And the guy who's, you know, and he's getting it done on a luxury yacht and the sea is rough. And so he keeps getting nicked and he keeps being an arsehole to the guy who's shaving him. You know, I thought, look, I'm just going to say this about Roadhouse 2024. Mm. I was 1,000% sure that I would fucking hate this movie with every fiber of my being.
Mm.
And I did not.
You liked it.
It
wasn't bad.
I had a fucking ball watching this film.
Yeah.
Is the film good? Not really. But are there performances that are really bad in the film? Absolutely.
Oh, my God. There's two bad actors
but
in this film. Oh,
this film is worth watching for numerous reasons. One, the cinematography is good. Two, the fight choreography is really fucking good.
Jake Gyllenhaal is great.
That was my third point. Jake Gyllenhaal is also good. And for anybody who wants to look at fucking insanely ripped, beautiful male bodies, then Jake Gyllenhaal does not wear shirts for most of the fucking
film.
The tone of this film
is funny.
Finally, after 20 fucking years of watching films that take themselves way too fucking seriously, this film knows what it is and revels in it.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yep. And this is exactly this kind of tone of a film is where it should other films need to look at and go, stop taking yourself so seriously. Like you are a thriller. You are a fight film thriller that is funny.
It's an action movie.
It's an action film.
It's just an action
and it's
film.
It's funny. But like they didn't take themselves too seriously.
No.
It was silly.
Conor McGregor is in it as the big bad, as the heavy who's coming after Dalton, Jake Gyllenhaal, to try and get this fucking roadhouse back into the hands of the bad guys. And there is a running joke that he can't be killed. And the longer it goes on, the more insane it is.
Mm.
You know, the set pieces get more and more insane as the film goes on. This in tone felt like the 80s films that I love.
Mm.
Like Commando, Cobra, the original Roadhouse. And, of course, it's got the template of an 80s classic action movie. But I just think the fact that it did – like, remember the Baywatch film?
Mm. That right? knew exactly that was, what it was.
I don't – yeah, I don't
no,
know.
I think it
I
did.
Felt – no, I don't think the tone of that
what?
Was correct, right? Like, it was too much like – it was too much like, get it? Baywatch is dumb and we're doing this dumb thing. This took itself seriously enough to be an action movie, but had some laughs in it, like some laughs in the script where you're meant to laugh, and then there were things put in there like the Conor McGregor thing where he keeps coming back from the dead.
Mm.
That was the director, you know.
Can I just say, I had a really good time watching this film.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor, as soon as he came in, he actually kind of ruined the movie for me because he can't act.
He
just
bad.
Cannot act.
It's bad.
And his character, it was just too bad.
But you know what?
It was too evil.
But you know what that is reminiscent of as well? 80s films where bad guys were fucking wrestlers or boxers or, you know what I mean? And it didn't matter because it's an action film and who cares? You know what I mean?
It was like,
you
funny. Yeah.
You don't need, like, he looks the part. The thing, yeah, the thing about huge. McGregor is that when he shows up, because they build, I'm so, I can hear how excited I am talking about this
That's
film.
So funny. Who would have thought Damien would love a film called Roadhouse? God.
But back up, I'm a bogan, whatever.
Yeah.
They build Gyllenhaal up so much that the only person that, like, could come into the film where you realistically think he has any chance of beating Jake Gyllenhaal in a fist fight is Conor McGregor.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty funny.
Like, and he's so ripped. McGregor, like, is so fucking beefy in this film.
He's not lean ripped. He's massively ripped.
Nah. He's been bulking, bruh.
Yeah, he's been taking
something.
He's
been bulking, bruh.
But I did like when he gets introduced and he just headbutts some guy, takes his jacket, and then the next scene it just cuts to, like, this whole street on fire.
Yeah. When we meet McGregor in the film, there is I assume it's in Mexico. There is a dad.
Puerto Rico was filmed.
Yeah, well, I
doesn't matter. Oh, well, whatever. Who cares?
There is a dad. Let's just say Mexico. There is a dad yelling at a daughter that Conor McGregor has obviously had sex with, and he jumps off a balcony into a laneway, completely nude, does this weird, like, Vince McMahon walk, which I think is the way he used to walk to the ring in UFC.
It's the Conor McGregor walk, and I know this because my friend Nick Cody loves Conor McGregor. And when after he got married, he did the Conor McGregor walk as a joke.
It's the Vince McMahon walk. And because Conor McGregor is a massive WWE fan. So I know that he stole that off Vince McMahon.
Okay.
Anyway, and then, yes, he goes up to a street stall, goes to steal. And what I also love about that is that he's on the phone to somebody explaining what he's about to do as well. Just in case you haven't worked it out, we're going to spoon feed this information to you as well. Yeah, it cuts back. He's taken this guy's clothes, but he's also burnt, like, 4 food stalls to the ground for no reason, just to show you this guy's bad. He's real bad.
He's awful, but, yeah,
terrible
actor.
What are you doing on your phone?
I'm reading stuff about the movie.
Well, I'm trying to talk to you about the movie
and
on
I'm
a
listening.
Podcast.
I'm listening. God forbid I speak.
Go on, say something then.
You know what I found very interesting, besides the fact that I fucking hate Conor McGregor, is that this film was in development in 2013 with Ronda Rousey as the lead role.
Yeah.
And then she lost. I remember this fight. She lost the fight with Holly Holm.
Who was
she
in
got KO'd.
Melbourne in Australia.
That was her first fight that she lost, and then the film never went ahead. Just because she lost the MMA fight, they were like, nah, look, she's not going to get this film now. I remember watching it. I was living in New York. I remember watching it in a bar and eating some weird burger that had mac and cheese in it. Delicious. But, like, what? Wild, right? Like, she lost. She got KO'd for the first time and they're like, nah, no more.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
No more film for you.
Jake Gyllenhaal is actually perfect for this film.
Yeah, he's great.
But then when I was thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, Swayze's kind of the same casting choice, like smaller guy, light, like you don't think of him as like a fighter.
He was a dancer. He was a dancer. Beautiful.
Yeah, but when you see Gyllenhaal doing, and the fight choreography is really good. Like
It bothered me. It was so realistic that there was a few moments where I was like, I can't watch. It was too violent.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, we love that thing about it.
I love the violence.
And the chick that played the doctor, the Cuban chick, can't act, sick of this shit, could not act.
Oh, I can't believe
could not act. Every time she spoke,
she
was
worse,
like,
than Conor McGregor.
Don't you even know what the body says about? I'm like, what are you saying? I can't hear you. Yes, you're beautiful and you're gorgeous. But I did like how, spoiler alert, I did like how that her and Jake Gyllenhaal didn't get together at the end. Because in 89 version, they get together, the doctor and Patrick Swayze.
Hmm.
But in this one, they were like, you better leave town. And he did.
Yeah, that makes me think that they're...
It's going to be a sequel.
There'll be Roadhouse 2.
They're going to bring him back.
This Roadhouse 2, this time it's housier.
Man, that chick who played the black chick that owned the Roadhouse, she's a comedian.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. It's wild to me when I see comedians.
And may I say, your wife is a babe.
It blows my mind when I see comedians in movies acting. Like last week when we watched the Rami Youssef was his name?
Yeah.
It was in Poor Things.
Poor Things was so good. Yeah. Remember when we watched Poor Things?
Yes.
God, that film fucking rules.
And then I was watching this interview with Andrew Santino, who's a really funny stand-up comic in New York, and he's got wild red hair, and I realized he's the guy in The Office. Like, do you know the part of The Office where Andy Andy has his father's boat and he has to like sail it, and there's that redhead guy and that jumper on the boat that won't let him sail the boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And keeps on smacking his hand. He's really rude to him.
Yeah.
That's Andrew Santino. And I was like, holy fuck, you were in The Office when you were like an open micer or whatever. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy to me when I see comedians acting and stuff. Anyway.
I think that's pretty much all to say about Roadhouse, because it's such an action movie. There isn't really much else to talk about it. But I fucking had a ball watching this film. I think it's because I had such low expectations and we had just come straight from the theater. And I was like, oh, God, I gotta watch fucking Roadhouse for the podcast. And like half an hour in, I like leaned over to you and was like, I think I'm really enjoying watching Roadhouse.
Yeah. I think you really like it. It was good, man. It was good. I don't remember, but so Post Malone was in it at the beginning. I don't remember him.
Yeah. Remember when Jake Gyllenhaal.
I remember when
Jake Gyllenhaal goes to the fight.
Bye.
Remember? So when we meet Jake Gyllenhaal at the beginning, he's doing underground MMA fights. But he basically shows up in a hoodie, and as soon as he takes his hoodie off, these amateur guys see him because he's an ex-UFC star and are like, I'm not fucking fighting that guy. So he takes the prize money without having to fight people.
Dodgy.
And that's how he's getting by. So, and the guy who refuses to fight him is Post Malone.
Right. Oh, I didn't recognize him. Listen, I really feel like you touched on a good point with this movie. Touch my body, give me romance. That when films, like, when you get films that are like action thrillers and stuff like that. Oh, shut up, Jim. He's just in the other room just doing those small little...
It's not
going to
come through on the mics. It's not going to come through on the mics.
It's coming through to me.
Okay.
Anyway, it's charming and funny. Yeah. When films know what they are. When films try and be... You know what the danger in filmmaking is? Wanker. If you try and be this thing,
yeah.
Like the wankiness, like I didn't feel... Like Poor Things is an example of I didn't feel the wankiness there. But there's a lot of stuff that we've watched where I'm like the fucking On the Boat movie where, you know, the killer on the boat and stuff. Wankers.
Oh, Death and Other Details.
Yeah. Death. Like there's just too much stuff where it's like everyone thinks they know what they are. Like look at – if you sit down and go, my movie/TV show is cute and witty, it's not cute and witty. I'll tell you, just write the fucking show and add some jokes later.
Yeah. Or don't. Really, or if don't it's add not jokes, a comedy.
If it's not a comedy. But when you think that you are cutesy and you're like, my show is, it's clever. It's very clever. No, you're not. Just write the fucking thing and then do, this film, I feel like they added jokes later with this film. I really feel like they here's the story, and then they kind of put it all together.
Yeah, it could have. But the jokes work and they don't feel forced.
They're not forced at all, and it's subtle. It's just
gives a mood to the film, which is perfect. The tone of the film is perfect.
It's subtle. Well, like when he...
The film isn't perfect, but the tone is perfect.
The tone, exactly. Like when the cop goes to pick up Jake Gyllenhaal, Dalton, like the cop comes, and this is after all this bullshit's gone down, and he's like, hey, Dalton, And he's like, turns around. He's like, yeah. And the cop goes, you're going to have to come with me. And just looks at him and goes, no, and walks away. Because it's well known that the cops are, you know, they're no good. They're bad. All the cops are corrupt.
Yeah.
But just the way he goes, no. And then he goes, you're going to have to come with me. Fine. Yeah. It's just really cute the way he goes, do I have to? Fine.
Gyllenhaal's made a choice of being like this sort of smiling assassin. And it works. It works really well.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling could have done this role too.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah. The film is a testament to star power. Jake Gyllenhaal is a star and he carries the film. Like if you had had someone...
100%.
If you had had someone who
was... Can I say? Chris Pratt. Wouldn't have been good. Chris Pratt, if he had done Roadhouse, I don't think, he would not have been able to carry this film and make it as charming as it was.
No, probably not. I was more thinking like a rung down. But I can't think of someone who I think is like heralded as a star but doesn't have a huge amount of star power. Like if it was 20 years ago, I would be able to reel off a whole bunch of actors off the top of my head, but I feel myself getting out of touch. But like...
Saltburn.
Yeah, that fucking... The Irish kid. Yeah.
Because he's too short.
He would have taken it too seriously. Someone like Jeremy Allen White, who I love...
Yeah.
...would have brought this intensity to the film, but it would have been like two fucking Conor McGregors in the
Honestly.
You know what I mean?
As much as we love the bear, I reckon if he had done this... I don't think this movie wouldn't have been as good.
No, it wouldn't have been.
It wouldn't have been. People like Jake Gyllenhaal and like Ryan Gosling, those guys, they fucking make roles better. Like,
well, Jeremy Allen White can do that, but he can't do it in this film. Because there is a tightrope of tone to walk on, and Gyllenhaal does it in this film. Because
Zac Efron
really
had
good.
Done this role.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think he had the comedy in him? Yeah. Interesting.
No, it's not. We're making it sound like it's a laugh out loud, right? It isn't. There's like... you know, seven or eight sort of chuckles in the film.
No
like,
titties, disappointed. Not like the 89 version.
2024, man. The sex doesn't exist.
Hey, sex doesn't sell. I got so many tanned bodies and white tits in the 89 version. And in the weirdest places and areas, it's just such a weird film. But
I think you can still do it without it being... derogatory to anybody. I think
no, it was. I liked that there was burst, nudity.
No, but I'm just saying
it.
In films in general, the scene where like Arnie is like burst into a room because he's chasing someone, and there's a couple in bed having sex, and like the girl pops up and you see her boobs. Mm. Do that. That's fine. Mm. Surprise boobs.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like maybe Zach couldn't have done this.
No. Gyllenhaal wanted to do it. He was into it. He's making a choice, but he's not like taking himself super serious. He's not doing any method shit. Jared Leto is someone
who would ruin this film.
Yes.
He would ruin it.
Take it way too fucking seriously.
Yeah, he would ruin it.
Leto can act. We've all seen him in stuff.
He's fantastic.
But like
Matthew McConaughey would have made it fun.
No. Again, I think he would have taken himself way too fucking
seriously. I think he would have made it fun.
Are we
at a Roadhouse? Let's roll right, all right, Roadhouse.
No, I disagree. I think he would have been too selfish. McConaughey suffers from the Pacino thing of like, it's all about me. This scene, every scene is about me. About every Pacino. Scene I'm in, I love watching Al Pacino. I love, he's probably my favorite actor
of all time.
Pacino
would have been good in this film.
But he's a selfish actor.
No, he would have been good in this film. Pacino would have been like...
Pacino as Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, we had a roadhouse. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm in the dark here at this roadhouse.
Gyllenhaal's great. If you love action films, especially like old school action films, and you just want to watch like something light, watch this film, man. It's on Prime. It's a blast.
It's not bad.
I cannot reiterate how much I thought this was going to suck. And how pleasantly surprised that I was like, it's actually all right.
Jim Carrey.
No. No.
Man, even just talking about Ryan Gosling, I got a heart on because he's so good. Like, there is, no, hang on.
I'm talking about Ryan Gosling.
But Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Gosling, there is this like group of dudes who just get it. They get the tone, they don't take themselves too seriously and it's silly and You know what I mean? If Heath Ledger was still alive, he couldn't do it, you know?
But if the film calls for that, that's fine. If you're doing a super serious film where you want...
Of course, but this like, is not that.
Then you call Leto. Like, if you're doing, like, what was the fucking
Joaquin
film?
Joaquin Phoenix could not do this.
No.
No.
God, Joaquin takes himself so seriously.
Jesus. There must be someone else that we can think of that... Like, the reason why I said Chris Pratt couldn't do it is because he would ham it up too much to be too funny.
Maybe a young Robert Downey Jr.? But he doesn't have, like, the physical presence to be, like, a believable guy who could beat the shit out of him.
But he also does the thing where he talks too fast to be funny.
You know who would have been great in the original Roadhouse? Mm. Or, like, you know, when he was young enough to do it? Mm. And, like, Swayze killed it, but Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, 100%. Well done.
Would have been great.
Kurt Russell. Dude, fucking, can we just watch Overboard? Even though it's the themes in it are kidnapping and awful. Fucking Kurt Russell. Let's watch another Kurt Russell movie now.
Kurt Russell rules.
Dude, Kurt Russell 100% would have nailed this role.
He is a guy that in his time...
Love him.
And I feel like maybe Gyllenhaal is going to fit into this like B-plus, you know, B-movies.
Mm.
You know, Gyllenhaal's not going to... For some reason, Gyllenhaal's not going to be Hollywood's number one guy. You know? Like Gosling is that now. It was Brad Pitt beforehand.
I feel like Gyllenhaal makes decisions about the movies he's in that are a bit better than some other people, which is probably why.
With this decision, by making this film, and he's made a couple of other films like Warrior and stuff like that, he knows where he is, that he's making B movies, and then he brings like his thing to those films that make them interesting. Mm. And every now and then he'll do a film like Nightcrawler that's brilliant and he's brilliant in it. But for the most part, he's doing these films. The same thing Kurt Russell did.
Mm.
Where Kurt Russell, very early on in his career, realized, like, I'm making B action films.
Escape from LA.
Or B comedies. You know what I mean?
Big Trouble in China.
Escape from New York. Big Trouble in Little China. Is that right?
Overboard.
No. Little China. What? Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
I'm getting, but there's
Backdraft.
There's Little Tokyo one with Dolph Lundgren. I'm getting.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Tango and Cash. You know what I mean? Cash. Like Cash and Tango.
Mm.
Tango.
Anyone want to get high?
And Cash.
Interesting.
The Thing, you know? Like The Thing is probably the best film he was in.
I don't know if I've seen that.
He was in, what was the fucking cowboy movie that was great with Val Kilmer and...
The Doc Holliday. The Doc Holliday.
I keep going to call it The Untouchables.
No, it's not Blaze of Glory. No. Shut down.
It's like something.
Tombstone?
Tombstone.
Yeah.
Tombstone is not. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like five B movies, one A movie that he happens to be in. You know,
Tom Cruise
feel like.
Could have done this film.
Maybe
he does it in John. What's he called?
I don't know if I would believe Tom Cruise as a...
He's too short.
Kick-ass bouncer type.
But
you know?
He's really good in the... what's it called? Not John Wick. Fucking... What's the films that I like? And when they did the movie...
Mission Impossible?
No, they did the TV show of it and with the big guy and the muscles.
Ah, Reacher. Jack Reacher.
Yeah, Reacher. Yeah. So Reacher's like this. Reacher can fucking smash a guy.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise wasn't believable. Those Reacher films are...
No, he was great in Reacher. I like them Tom Cruise movies.
Anyway, talk about a tangent. Jake Gyllenhaal's really good in this, and I just feel like he's maybe found his niche of like just doing B action films. Do more of this
stuff. What's your grump?
Actually, the Guy Ritchie film he just did before this was pretty good as well, which was another B action movie.
What's your grump?
All right, relax. I'm getting to it.
Always
being rushed by you.
Oh, God.
Look. I can't give this film more than 2.5 stars and be taken seriously.
Really?
Right? Like, if we want anyone to take our recommendations seriously, as a reviewer, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars, right? But as a fucking bogan action fan, I've got to give it 3 stars. I really, really fucking enjoy it. No, I'm not giving it 3.5. It means it's a star and a half off Poor Things. I'm not doing that.
I'm going to give it 2.5 3.
Two and three quarters. I'm giving it 2 3/4.
2 3/4. I'm going to give it 2.5. And the only reason why it doesn't get 3 is because it's fucking...
There's some really bad performances in this film. Yeah, that's what I'm like. There's two performances in particular that are like, it's really bad acting. Yeah. So you can't give it 3 stars just because of that. But I thought I was going to be giving it 0. So,
yeah, it definitely is worth a few stars, man. It wasn't... Like, I definitely put my phone down a few times to watch it. Yeah. I was like, this is great.
Set pieces are great. Silly. Fight choreography is great.
Some of the side characters were excellent.
Great. There's like, some side characters that are awesome.
Like the guy, the really nice... there's one of the goons is really nice. He's like, good to see you again. Okay, bye. He's like got a broken arm. It's fun. Man,
yeah,
it's
there's fun. Like he Gyllenhaal keeps running into this guy and he gets nicer and nicer every time he bumps into him.
Okay, that's good. All right, well, that's it.
Let's wrap it up there.
Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. Yeah,
lots of people listening still. We really appreciate that. The way that you can help us is by telling your friends, rating and reviewing.
Share it.
On Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. Share it on the socials, man. We're gonna love that. We're not gonna hate that.
We're not gonna buy it.
We're not gonna. We're gonna force you to take that down.
Yeah.
You know, do a TikTok.
Yeah.
Do a little TikTok.
I should do a TikTok.
Do a little TikTok.
Get down tonight.
Yeah, we never do so. We're both bad at social.
I'm always looking like at my face in a TikTok, and I gotta do TikToks. I hate them.
I'll share like a film clip of like a band rehearsing from 1977, but I won't do promo for my own podcast. No. Anyway.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoy yourselves.
Thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Share. I love you.
Baby,
I love you.
Bye, 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 bye. Ha ha.